Thank you for listening to this sermon recorded at the Lost River Church of Christ. For more information, check out our website at lostriverchurch.org or call us at 270-843-3163. We consider it an honor to share the good news of Jesus Christ with you completely free of charge. Have a great day and enjoy the sermon. If you have your Bible, I would encourage you to turn with me to Exodus chapter 20. It's great to see everyone this morning. It's a beautiful day. We finally got a little bit warmer weather after the cold snap. But it's great to be here and be able to be together. We're in the middle of a study here at Lost River of the Ten Commandments. And this morning we are starting with the fourth commandment, which is found in Exodus chapter 20, beginning in verse 8. And that is the commandment that has to do with the Sabbath, which has to do with rest. Who among you needs rest? Anybody this morning tired? You don't have to make a show of hands. Anybody restless? Anybody weary? Is anyone heavy laden? Burdens that you're bearing? This is then a message for you. And while I'll tell you, there are some who certainly need to understand the biblical doctrine of work, and there clearly is one. The Bible teaches us that God created mankind in His image to follow after the example of God, which begins with God working. And we are to be workers. We are to be productive in our lives. God's looking for that from us. And some people need to learn to work, and they need to learn to work with greater discipline and greater effort. And those kinds of people often need to be reminded, that is, those who work a lot and who work hard need to be reminded that God also rested, and that we are also called to reflect His image by taking rest as well. But those who perhaps are undisciplined and not as hardworking as they should be are often just as tired as those who work very hard. And that's sort of a puzzle to me. I've thought about that. Why is that the case? And we seem to be doing better here now. We'll try this. Why is that the case, that people who don't work are often just as weary and tired as those who work very, very hard? And I think that the answer to that is that the problem is not found in the presence of hard work. That's not why we are a weary and heavy laden and tired and often exhausted and restless people. It is not the presence of hard work. It is the absence of profound rest that is the problem. And the lazy person can be just as failing and missing the point as much by failing to take the kind of rest that we are called by God to take as anybody else. And so this is a lesson for those who are lazy. This is a lesson for those who work. This is a lesson for those who work too much and those who work too little. And the emphasis is on rest and where that rest is to be found. In Exodus chapter 20, and beginning in verse 8, the Lord says, "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or your daughter, nor your manservant or your maidservant, or your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. But He rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." So we're told here that the Sabbath is done in a reflection of what God did at creation. God created 6 days. He rested the seventh. Therefore you go and you do likewise. We're interestingly told when this law is restated in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 5, a generation later, that the reason specifically cited there is not the creation event, but rather the Exodus event itself, where God brought Israel out of bondage to the slavery of the Egyptians and granted them freedom. And God saw that granting of them freedom a form of rest. God was giving Israel rest by bringing them out of under Pharaoh's hand and bringing them into their own land. One thing that is common to both of these instances of the commandment is the commandment is not only given to us as an individual, are we to rest before the Lord, but we are also, interestingly, called to give rest. To cause those who are around us to take rest. So we're to take what we are given. God is a giver of rest, and we are to extend that to other people and give them rest as well. So again, the question is, are you weary? Are you tired? Are you not resting and taking the rest that the Lord would call upon you to take? And secondly, are you being restful to others? Are you giving rest to other people? Or do you never give it a rest? Are the people around you constantly finding a way, like an Israelite under the cracking whip of a slave driver in Egypt might be looking for an opportunity to just find a few minutes respite from this slave master that is over me? Is that the way that the people who are surrounded by you in life, at the workplace or in your home, is that the way that they feel under your oppressive hand? You see, God is a God who gives rest, and He calls us to be a people who likewise give rest to others. We want to take this commandment, which is frequently looked upon as in one of two ways. In the world today, there are people who take this commandment and ask the question, well, how does it apply in the new covenant? How do we take the Sabbath command and apply it to those who are not under the law of Moses, but living under the law of Christ, living into the new covenant? Some people want to say, well, it applies directly. It comes unfiltered, straight through the centuries, and we are still on the seventh day to follow all the restrictions that are put in place by God about work on the seventh day. And so, strict and Orthodox Jews would follow that, but also Adventists, Seventh-day Adventists, and others of the sort still follow this. Others want to apply the specific restrictions of the Sabbath law, but say, well, it's on Sunday now. And then there are others, and this is kind of the way that it grew up being presented to me as a child, was that it has basically no relevance to us today. So that's sort of the other end of the extreme. That the Sabbath day was for the Jews under the law of Moses and all the principles that applied thereunto, and for us in the new covenant, it really means nothing. I think both of these are badly mistaken, and I hope that we can illustrate that in this lesson this morning. First of all, I want to look at three passages that I think will help clarify a little bit of our how we should approach and think of the Sabbath and the concept of the Sabbath as New Covenant Christians. The first is to understand that the law of Moses is fulfilled in the person and work of Jesus Christ. As it says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 4, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." We shouldn't understand the word end here, telos, to mean that it's like you've reached the end of the pier and there's no more road, that you've reached the end of the highway, end of the track, and that's the end of it. The idea rather is that which is a goal. The law had a goal in mind, a purpose in mind, and Jesus came and reached that goal. He fulfilled the purpose that the law was given for. One of the things that the law was given for was simply to be a guide to mankind and how to be fully human, what it meant to be a man, what it meant to be a creature under God, and what it meant to, and therefore how to love God and how to love your fellow man. The law instructed and taught man how to do this. And only one person has ever fulfilled the ideal for which the law was given, and that is Jesus Christ. Therefore, He is the end of the law. He is what the law was about. He's what the law was pointing at. And so we want to see, well, what was God really trying to accomplish and get people to do through all of the Old Testament law and all the details that were involved with it? Go to your New Testament, open up the Gospel, read about the life of Jesus, and say, that's it. That's what the law was pointing to. That is the end of the law. That's what it was all about. Jesus fulfills this completely. And so Jesus is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Our task is to trust in Him and in the perfection of His law keeping, and to understand that He has taken the law, fulfilled it, nailed it to the cross in His body as He died on the cross, buried it, and then rose again, bringing the law with Him, but completely transformed and renewed as the new covenant. And so there is much that comes to us from the old law, but it all has to be understood in terms of Jesus Christ. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, I think this is explained a little more fully. He says, So let no one judge you in food or drink, or regarding a festival or new moons or Sabbaths. And all of these had to do with Jewish rituals and holy days and customs that some Jewish Christians were trying to impose upon Gentile converts and telling them they had to observe all of these Jewish rituals themselves. And Paul is telling them, don't do that. Don't feel like you are under obligation to keep all of the details of this law. Because he says in verse 17, all of these things, including those specific weekly Sabbath observances, Colossians 2:17, these were a shadow of things to come, but the substance is Christ. Now I want you to notice that. The way he says that, he doesn't say, all of these details of the law of Moses, that was then, don't bother yourself, don't worry about that now at all, it's meaningless. No, he says all of that was a shadow that was cast by the substance, and the substance is Christ. And so the shadows were suggesting something, they were saying something, but what they were saying is actually fulfilled and manifest in Christ. He is the Sabbath, would be the point here. And so some of the specific details of Sabbath regulations we would no longer be under in terms of the way that we do the procedures, but the meaning that was involved in Sabbath keeping was fulfilled and is embodied in the person and life of Jesus Christ. And so we need to understand all of the shadowy aspects of the Sabbath law in terms of the person of Jesus Christ. Now, you may be listening to all that and say, okay, I kind of follow that, but what does that mean? What do you mean by that? I think we can answer that best by simply looking at Jesus in some of the Gospels and how he addressed issues relative to the Sabbath. So let's do that for just a few moments. In Luke chapter 6, I think, is a great place for us to do this. And we need to understand that Jesus was constantly running into trouble on the Sabbath day, because the way Jesus was going about fulfilling the Sabbath principle, embodying what the Sabbath meant, was contradictory to what the Jews of his day thought it should all be about. And so as he went about establishing its true meaning, they were constantly opposing him and troubling him about this. And he uses this as an opportunity to teach us what it means for the Sabbath, what the Sabbath is really about, and how he is its fulfillment. In Luke chapter 6, let's just begin reading in verse 1. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and his disciples began to pick some heads of grain, rub them in their hands, and eat the kernels. Some of the Pharisees asked, "Why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" Jesus answered them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and taking consecrated bread, he ate which was lawful only for the priest to eat. And he gave some to his companions. Then Jesus said to them, 'The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath.' On another Sabbath, he went into the synagogue and was teaching, and a man there whose right hand was shriveled. And the Pharisees and teachers of the law were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. But Jesus knew what they were thinking and said to the man with the shriveled hand, 'Get up and stand in front of everyone.' So he got up and stood there. Then Jesus said to them, 'I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it?' He looked around at them all, and then he said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' He did so, and his hand was completely restored. But they were furious and began to discuss with one another what they might do to Jesus." I want to take these two stories in reverse order. First, or secondly, we find Jesus at the synagogue teaching. So this was a common Sabbath custom among the Jews. They would assemble, much as we assemble today, and they would have reading and explanation of the law. Jesus is doing that. Jesus was standing before the people, reading the law, talking about its meaning. And there was someone who was there who had this shriveled hand. And everybody noticed that. And so you've got Jesus up here teaching, you've got this man with a shriveled hand, and you have Pharisees especially who are watching to see if Jesus is going to do something like heal this man on the Sabbath day so that they could use this as an opportunity to jump on him. And so Jesus sees what's going on. It says he understands this, he perceives what is taking place, and he has the man just stand up in front of everybody. And so this is a rather awkward and tense situation. And Jesus is on one side of the issue, many of the Pharisees and the audience are on another side of the issue, and here's the man in the middle with a withered hand. And their view is the Sabbath says, God says, don't work. This is a day for rest. And so Jesus says, well, so what are we supposed to do here? What's the right thing to do in this situation? Now, I'm not going to go into a whole lot of details about this. I'm just going to take the view and the assumption that I have that Jesus' view on this is right. And the Pharisees' view was wrong. Their view was it would be wrong to heal this man on the Sabbath day because of whatever work might be involved in Jesus' part on doing this. And Jesus says, basically, and by healing the man, you completely misunderstand the purpose of this law. This law is restorative. The purpose of the Sabbath is not God taking something from you. This is God giving something to you. Pharaoh was taking from you. God is giving to you. And the Sabbath day is for healing. The Sabbath day is for good. And so Jesus heals that which is withered. And so the purpose of the Sabbath principle and the purpose of the Sabbath as it is embodied in Jesus is to bring healing to shriveled souls, healing to wearied bodies and minds, to troubled hearts, to those who are oppressed by the devil, for those who are going through all kinds of dealings that are bringing them down and burdening them. Jesus says the Sabbath as it should be understood and as it is fulfilled in me is about me giving you rest and bring you healing and restoration and wholeness from the brokenness that you were under in your lives. And so Jesus heals the man. And you would think by healing the man, everyone would say, well, I get it now. I see the point. And say, Jesus is right. This is great. What a wonderful thing has happened here. But instead, they went out and began to plot what they might do to Jesus. Another passage says how they might destroy Jesus. You see, there's one way of looking at God's law and things like the Sabbath day and getting so tangled up in one's procedural understanding of this that what it eventuates in is when you actually see somebody who does understand it, it provokes you to anger and you decide, What's the Sabbath for? The Sabbath is for figuring out how you can kill a guy. The Sabbath is for figuring out how we can put this man to death. That's what they were plotting on the Sabbath day. And so Jesus' question, is it right to do good or evil on this day? Really comes into focus, doesn't it? They thought the Sabbath day could be used to get together a group of people to figure out how they could put an end to Jesus. Jesus saw the Sabbath day as a way of how you could take someone who was shriveled and make them whole. This is how Jesus is the substance. He is the embodiment of what the Sabbath meant. The same thing is true with the previous story of Jesus with the disciples on the Sabbath day and walking through the fields of grain and his disciples rubbing them and eating the grain, which they describe to be harvesting and working on the Sabbath. Jesus gives them an example from precedents, but we're not going to go into that. Instead, what I want to focus on is Jesus' statement in verse 5 where he says, "The Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath." He also says in Mark, the second chapter, something that's interesting in a parallel passage. He says that the Sabbath was not made for man. I'm sorry, not the, he, does, he says the Sabbath was man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath for man. And here he says that he is the Lord of the Sabbath. Now that obviously means he is saying, I am in a position of authority to tell you what the Sabbath is about. And it also means Jesus saying, I'm all about the Sabbath. I'm not trying to break the Sabbath. I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. I'm all for the Sabbath. I just want you to understand what the Sabbath really means. But I think perhaps also implied in that statement is something a little more subtle, and that is Jesus is suggesting, not only am I over the Sabbath as the one who is authorized to tell you what it means, but I think he is saying, I am the Sabbath. And if you feel like that's a little bit of an exegetical stretch, then I would simply call your attention to Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 29, which is a parallel of the same event in Matthew's account. And there Jesus famously says, come to me, you who are weary and who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find Sabbath for your souls. Rest for your souls. In all of this, Jesus is communicating this point. Here's what the Sabbath is about. I'm what the Sabbath is about. The Sabbath is pointing to me and the unburdening and the healing that I can bring to the weary, to the burdened, to the oppressed. Far from dismissing the Sabbath, Jesus is saying, I am the Sabbath. So to say that the fourth commandment in Exodus chapter 20 is done away with in the new covenant and has no real significance for us today is to profoundly misunderstand both the law as a shadow and therefore to misunderstand Jesus as the substance. The law is described as a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. It is the idea of the law is for children, Christ is for the adult. When we go to school, as it were, as children, we learn our lessons not so that we can reach adulthood and forget them, but so that now that the lessons have been taught, we've figured this out, and now we can go out and live them. And that's what we need to understand about the law as a whole, and the Sabbath in particular. We don't forget everything we learned in the Old Testament. We take what we have learned, and now as free, not children, but men, not slaves, but free men in Christ, can take these principles and have what we would call a Sabbath mind and a Sabbath heart. Learning how to take and receive rest from Christ and how to extend and give rest to our neighbor. I ask you again this morning, are you tired? And I don't just mean tired. You work hard, you get tired. End of the week, you need to recover from that and get a little bit rejuvenated. Are you the kind of person who is always tired? Are you always burdened? Are you always heavy laden? If you're a Christian and that is the way you feel, I want to say to you, you have not yet come to understand Him whom you have received. You don't yet know Him as you should know Him. If you are a withered soul and you are a Christian, you need to come and see Christ in His fullness, in His beauty, in His power, in His grace. Again, our problem is not the presence of hard work. The problem is the absence of profound rest, profound satisfaction. I want to look at a little bit more before we conclude this. Jesus is our Sabbath. In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, take a view of this passage. It's a little bit different than is common, although I don't know that there is a common interpretation. This is a highly controverted passage in terms of people and how they appropriate and understand it. But in a book where God is, the writer is contrasting constantly the superiority of the new covenant over the old covenant, demonstrating the superiority of Christ to Moses or anything else that came before or since, He makes this point. He says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9, "There therefore remains a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his." In the passage he's talking about, God, the Creator, created the world in 6 days and then entered into his rest. And the idea of rest there, we'll pause and try to explain this as we go. The idea of rest there is not that God spent himself and was just so exhausted that he had to just, you know, he was gassed and had to catch up on the seventh day. The idea of rest there for God, I believe, is the concept of taking delight or satisfaction. You see, each day that God created, each day he made something and said, "It's good." Every day except Monday. That's always been humorous to me. It does not say that after Monday God said it was good. So if Monday just stinks, you're following a godly principle there. But every other day God does his work, and at the end of it he evaluates what he did and he says, "It's good." And at the end of it all, after 6 days of creation, he looks back on it and he says, "It's very good." And he entered into his rest. He took satisfaction in the good work that he had accomplished. And I think that what he is saying in Hebrews 4 is that Jesus, the pronouns are difficult for us to follow, but I think the he's and the him's here are a reference to Jesus, not to us, at least not in the first place. You see, Jesus worked. What is Jesus doing in this world? He is working. He is fulfilling the law. And particularly on the cross, what is he doing? He's writhing there. And he is working there. Until at last he is able to say, "It is finished" there. Jesus works, and then on the third day he rises from the dead and he enters into his rest and invites us to enter into it with him by faith. You see, God created the world and rested. Jesus came into a world then that we had marred by our sinful works, and Jesus worked and recreated the world and entered into his rest. And there's really no way to explain why we would have such a profound shift in a day in which we regard as a day holy to the Lord in some respects, from the seventh to the first, other than we are in a new creation. That God has radically altered the very foundations of the world. That he has remade the place, and he has remade the place in Christ, and he did his work, he finished his work, he rose from the dead and entered into his rest. He looked back on what he had accomplished with satisfaction and said, "It is good. It is very good." Now, what that means for you and me is that when we look at our work and we're never satisfied, because we know it's not as good as it ought to be, and it's never done, it creates with us an anxiety, a frustration. And we work, work, work. And that's why some of you this morning are workaholics. It's why you never quit and you're restless in your mind, because something needs to be done and it's never good enough. And even if for a brief moment in time you've done something really well and you look back on it and you find some sense of satisfaction, there's always tomorrow. And I've got to prove myself all over again. There's only been one movie that I know of in my lifetime that was made about the Sabbath, and that's Chariots of Fire. There's two key characters in the book, and one of them is a man by the name of Harold Abrahams. And he works himself like mad as an amateur athlete to prepare himself for the Olympics for the 100-meter dash. I think it was the 100-yard dash back in the day. But he is even hiring a coach, which was frowned upon at that time for an amateur athlete to do. And in the movie, he's asked why it is that he so relentlessly focuses and exerts himself in this direction. And Harold Abraham's answer to that is that when that gun goes off, I have 10 seconds to justify my existence. I think that explains why some of us are doing like we're doing. I've got to justify my existence. I've got to do enough. It's got to be good enough. There's got to be enough volume of it, whatever it is. I've got to prove myself. I've got to prove that I can justify my existence, that I'm not a waste of space and time. Rocky, in another movie, though not about the Sabbath, I think illustrates the same principle. There was only one good Rocky movie, the first one, and in it he says, nobody's ever gone the distance with Creed. And if I can go that distance, you see, I'm not going to do the speech that Rocky would use. But he says, if I can go that distance, you see, and the bell rings and I'm still standing, I'm going to know for the first time in my life that I weren't just another bum. That's why some people feel compelled to just do and do and do and do. I want to prove that I wasn't just a bum. And so we work to satisfy what someone has described as the eternal ache in our conscience that says your work is what gives you your worth, and yet we know that our work isn't quite what it ought to be. And so we can't find rest. Our minds are troubled and our hearts are heavy. Isaiah described it well. He said in Isaiah chapter 57, verse 20, the wicked are like the churning of the sea, which cannot rest, whose waves cast up mire and mud. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. And the wicked here could be anybody. It could be the religious person, ever striving to do good deeds, tirelessly giving himself so that he can say, I've done enough. It could be the businessman who's working, making money, making jobs for other people to show, I was somebody, I mattered, I counted, I did it. It might be the athlete trying to justify his existence by that one 10-second burst. It might be anybody who's looking for a way to satisfy this eternal longing, this aching of the conscience that says I must justify my existence by who I am and what I'm doing. But you will be ceaselessly and endlessly frustrated until you turn from your own works as a means of justifying your existence and turn to Christ, whose work and whose work alone was good enough, and find rest in Him. Again, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Do you want the rest that Jesus can give? When we look at the Ten Commandments and the Fourth Commandment specifically from Mount Sinai, what we see is deliverance from tyranny under Pharaoh and the 7-day work week that he required. And when we come to the cross and we see the Fourth Commandment, what we see is our deliverance from the tyranny of sin, the tyranny that says, I must work to justify my existence. And we find rest in Christ and in the work that He has done for us. And there we can find peace. There I can have faith, not in me, but in another. And that's what it means to be a Christian. I'm not trusting in me and what I can do and who I am, but in who Jesus is and what He has done. And I put my full confidence and trust in Him. I put my trust there, not in me and what I'm doing, and I find the rest. I lean upon the Savior. If you want that rest, that's the offer that we make this morning. It's the Lord's invitation and His offer. You can come this morning, be united with Christ in baptism, your sins washed away, and you can lean upon Him. You can rest in Him. You can find the peace that you need. And this is His offer and His invitation. We encourage you to take hold of it this morning while we sing for your encouragement.